One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the cornfields, and as they made their way, his disciples began to pluck heads of grain. And the Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" And he said to them, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need of food? He entered the house of God when Abiathar was high priest and ate the bread of the presence, which is not lawful for any but the priest to eat. And he gave some to his companions." Then he said to them, "The Sabbath was made for humankind, not humankind for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." Again, Jesus entered the synagogue, and a man was there who had a withered hand. And they watched him to see whether he would cure him on the Sabbath, so that they might accuse him. And he said to the man who had the withered hand, "Come forward." And then he said to them, "Is it lawful to do good or to do harm on the Sabbath, to save life or to kill?" But they were silent. And he looked around at them with anger. He was grieved at their hardness of heart and said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored. The Pharisees went out and immediately conspired with the Herodians against him, how to destroy him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, there's no question that things are heating up, right? In north central India this week, the temperature rose above 50 degrees Celsius. And forecasters predict that the rising temperatures of the Atlantic Ocean are going to ramp up the energy to feed the severity of a greater number of tropical storms and hurricanes in the coming months. And not only is the mercury on the rise, but so too is the ire of people in our world. Conflict, existential threats, long lineups, and long wait times, crowded roads, closed roads, and closed doors can add fuel to the fire of hot air. Heat is energy that gets expressed in a number of ways. And I'm intrigued by how often and quickly that pent-up energy can get spent through the hands of a person. Even the cool surface of the hockey rink cannot abate the temperature rising between competing teams fighting for the championship. And when the temperature reaches a certain threshold, the gloves drop and the fists fly, right? Now, I like to think of myself as more of a lover than a fighter. But I have to confess that there are really only two places in which I can be tempted to reach out and punch somebody. Now, one is in the car. You know, during rush hour traffic, when someone cuts me off or stops in front of me to double park. And I recall times when my arms and hands have become surprisingly animated. But fortunately for the other driver is always more than an arm's length away in another vehicle. Now, the other place, I have been known to find my hands taking on a life of their own, is on the hockey rink. See, after 2.5 periods of being poked and jabbed and tripped up and held against my will by a guy who's most certainly a friend of the referees, the blind referee, I do get the urge to reach out and convey in a non-verbal way that I have not appreciated his company on the ice. And I recall playing for a church team many years ago. Now, church teams, now they can be the roughest, right? I played for all kinds of teams, but those church boys. And I met up with such a guy in one game behind the net. Long story short, I lost my cool and perhaps my mind because I gazed up at this towering, broad, imposing brute between me and the boards. And I let him have it. Friends, what we do with outstretched hands can speak volumes to those about us. And in our scripture lesson, we find instances of outstretched hands, which are telling symbols of what is going on inside a person. They speak of what motivates a person. The outstretched hands reveal the soul of a person. In the first instance, we find the disciples of Jesus reaching out their hands to pluck grain from the field in which they were passing. It was hunger that motivated them. To reach out and pluck grain while traveling, that was a common and accepted practice in first century Palestine. But note that plucking grain was not the issue as much as when they were picking it was an issue. Hunger was something one might experience any day of the week. And whose grain was it anyway? All that the earth yielded and brought forth was appropriately recognized as a gift of God. The disciples were in need, and God had provided for them. Unless one reached out their hand, they would deny themselves God's blessing of food. Now the Pharisees used their hands for another purpose. They use their hands to reach out and point into the disciples in condemnation. Look at those guys plucking grain on the Sabbath. And how often have we found our own hands being outstretched to draw attention away from our sinful selves to find fault in another? If we pay attention to the times that we find ourselves pointing out something we don't like in another person, we may be surprised to discover that what we really are indicating is something about ourselves that we don't like. After all, is not the root motivation of condemnation of someone often stating a need to feel better about ourselves? Remember the story Jesus told about the Pharisee and the tax collector that went to the temple to pray? God, I thank you that I'm not like other people, thieves and rogues and adulterers, or even like this tax collector. And while the religious leaders were pointing fingers of condemnation and judgment, Jesus entered their synagogue, and there they found a man with a withered hand. And eager to trip up Jesus, the healer, They pointed to the disabled man and asked, "Is it lawful to cure on the Sabbath?" And Jesus gave them an example of how they would likely put their hands to work to save an animal with little thought about the particular day. The example hearkens to words of Jesus in Matthew's gospel, recounting the same event when he says, "I desire mercy, not sacrifice." And mercifully, Jesus invited the man to stretch out his hand, and there and then, Jesus restored the hand to wholeness and made the man complete. In doing so, Jesus restored the person. Now, underneath all these handouts is the issue of the Sabbath, right? What Jesus was showing and teaching was that our understanding of the Sabbath was going to change. Those who were fussing about the Sabbath observances were unable to recognize the Lord of the Sabbath. Seeing Jesus as a threat, the Pharisees, we are told in verse 14, went out to conspire against him, how to destroy him. And it is here that we find the final occasion of outstretched hands in our lesson. It may not be very visible, but what we are given is a foreshadowing of God's greatest expression of love. For it was on the cross of Calvary that Jesus' outstretched hands embraced the world in sacrificial love. And it was there too that the work was finished, and all could partake in the Sabbath rest. No longer would we be under the illusion that the work of our hands would save us, but rather only in and through the completed work of Christ upon the cross. So when our hands are out, why are they out? Are they out to take or receive? There's a difference. Are they out to judge or to point out injustice? There's a difference. Are they out to hurt or to heal? Are they out to bully or to bless? When our hands are out, what do they look like to others? What they look like will speak volumes about what is going on inside of us, what is motivating us, and the condition of our souls. Oh, and by the way, that fella that I hit on the hockey rink, he saw my outstretched hand following the game in the arena lobby. I put my hand out to say that I was sorry and to seek his forgiveness. And he stretched his hand out and gave it to me. His forgiveness, that is. I want to offer a reflection from Peter. And in Peter's reflection, in this reflection of Peter, he pays a lot of attention to hands. So I invite you to reflect on this. walked beside the water, spread out his empty hands, invited me and my brother to fish with him on land. The nets of our own making fell from our calloused hands. Our livelihoods forsaking to follow a man who heals the sick, who feeds the weak, embraces all who seek. He walked upon the water, stretched forth a powerful hand, and lifted up a doubter whose lost sight returned again. The raging winds and waters bow to his command. Peace, be still, be not afraid. I thought I knew the man who saves my life, who speaks the truth, who knows the way I am. He rode into the city, the kingdom now at hand. I flinched at the resistance, I could not accept the plan. He turned the tables over, he turned the tables round. Outraged hands rose higher, he knelt weeping on the ground and prayed alone and grieved alone, and he alone obeyed. He labored up a hilltop while Simon lent a hand. A crumbling rock was hiding his future, fleeting as the sand. I said that I would follow, I said that I would die. I fled to the familiar, closed the door, and hid inside a darkened place, a hollow space, looking for his grace. He walked beside the water, held out his nail-pierced hand. The nets I had recovered fell from my hands again. I leapt into the water, the water I once feared. My eyes were fixed upon him. He called again, I heard. He loves me so, the world must know. Thank you. into the world I go. Let us pray. Lord God, we found a home in you, and we found a family in you. We found a place to belong, to know and be known, to love and be loved. And we are so grateful for this awesome gift, but too easily we forget the benefits it brings. We've forgotten our place and doubted your love. So remind us and all who feel neglected by you that we are engraved on your hands. We have forgotten who we are and have failed to care for ourselves. Remind us and all who feel worthless that you've called us by name. We have forgotten our connectedness and have divided ourselves. Remind us and all who would exclude or oppress and condemn others that we are all made in your image and we are all one body. For the sake of Jesus, who loved us to the death and whose love conquered the grave, hear our prayer and teach us to be one again. Amen. Let's stand as we